Well, welcome to Wise Lives. It's great to be back with you for another edition. I'm really pleased today, actually. It's a bit of a treat for me that my own daughter is joining me with her really good friend, Josie. And we are going to talk today about what it's like to be a Christian, a young adult Christian, in university, in a different stage of life, and some of the ups and downs, some of the reasons that you think you're still here and you're still a Christian, perhaps, and find out a little bit about what it's like to try and introduce your faith to other people. So, thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. It is. Just tell us about yourselves to begin with. Just introduce yourselves to us so we get a little bit of feel to get to know you. And maybe you could just tell me how you guys met.
Yes. So, my name is Yasmin. I am Nick's daughter. Originally from Sheffield. I grew up here. And in September, I moved to Nottingham University to study medicine. So, I'm a first year medic.
Yes, and I'm Josie. I'm from Newcastle, even though I don't have the accent. Yes, I'm in Nottingham in my first year, post year out, doing adult nursing. So it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yes.
So you're both Nottingham University, first years. So that's a massive change. How did you guys meet?
It's a good God story, actually. It was Freshers Week, so it's very early on, and we were at a swimming club social. In the student bar. And I think the last couple of days I'd met lots of people, but I was praying to God. I said, I would love to meet some really great Christian friends that night, walking to this swimming social. And then Josie taps me on the back and goes, hi, I've seen you around all these different events. And oh, and we got chatting kind of thing. And she says, like, in the next couple of sentences, oh, are you a Christian? Like, how have you become Christian? And I said, yes, I'm a pastor's kid. And she goes, me too. And I thought, oh, we're onto something here.
And then I gave her a really big hug because I hadn't met anyone else who was a pastor's kid yet.
So I think in the moment I was like, oh, okay. And it was all a bit overwhelming, but I said, let's meet for a walk. Let's get to know each other. So we went a few days later on a walk around the lake on campus, and we clicked, really clicked, and have been friends ever since.
Hooray, besties. That's great. So on Wise Lives, we cover all sorts of topics. We've talked about online dating, which I know you've listened to, Yasmin. Don't get any ideas, though. And we've talked about prayer and what it's like in the workplace. So today we're just going to think a little bit about what it's like to be a young adult Christian in today's culture, which is rapidly changing and quite challenging. So you go off to, first of all, what was it like to go to a whole new city, try and kind of keep the stability of faith that you went in with? How's that worked out in a new place without the scaffolding perhaps that you had around you at home?
I think it's important to remember that God stays the same. So wherever you are, his safety and his refuge stays the same, and he is just as near in that place as he is in the comfortable setting of home. But it is hard. It's really hard. And you're moving to a new place. You're trying to get to know so many different things. Like, you're starting from the ground up, building a new life, but knowing that he is staying the same, that his character is staying the same, that his character is consistent when everything else feels like it's changing, is really big. That was really big, yeah.
Yeah, I think as well, the importance of your one-on-one time with God. Because growing up, I guess we both grew up in Christian families. And so maybe we did have that scaffolding of like holy habits and practices, and church is just a thing we go to and everything. But when you come to uni, suddenly it was our choice of, are we going to have our own time with Jesus and make this, again, another opportunity to make it our own relationship? And that really helped me in Freshers Week and moving forward, that it became a daily practice of having quiet time with God. So that when it's really challenging in uni, and when it doesn't look, that's not the normal thing to do, yeah, being able to stay connected with God in that sense meant you could get through the day, and it was great and it was fun.
So, and that's actually a really big deal, because you're talking about choosing to do some things and keeping rhythms going, because Fusion, which is it's a Christian organisation that work with students across the UK, they would say that roughly 75% of students drop off coming to church at this point of going to uni. So it's actually a really dangerous moment. And as a parent, you know, I'm aware of this. You try and do what you can to prepare your children for a life of faith, but actually it's your faith, not mine. And it's a really dangerous moment. University is fantastic, but, you know, if 75% of people who would be in church or Christians when they go to uni don't make it through afterwards, which is actually a horrendous statistic when you think about it. So just tell me a little bit about what was life like before uni for you. What was your Christian walk like, and what difference did that make by the time you got to uni?
I think at school I felt nervous about my faith. I felt like I was treading on eggshells a bit about it. It felt like it was something that everyone had always known I had, and therefore why would I share, because they just know already. But yeah, coming to uni, you just step out of your faith so much more if you are holding on to it, knowing who you are in God and what God says about you, and knowing that you're loved and that you're a child. There's something that happens that can happen anywhere, but for me it was at uni, where you just come alive and like you just, yeah, knowing your friendship with God is the first priority of everything that you do, and letting everything else be an overflow of that. I just think it's been amazing, because yeah, you just share in a new way, and yeah.
I think in a way it was a bit of an accident for me. I just started to seek God, and then when you start to seek God, you start to want to seek God more. And so, yeah, if anyone is feeling like that today, that it's like, oh, how do I become more hungry for God? If you start to seek him, you will want to seek him more. It's just what happens. So it started by more of a discipline for me. So it was reading the Bible every day, every morning, and spending time praying with God and worshipping him by myself. And then from that place, I just wanted to do it more. I wanted to do it with people. And then it was this sense of love for other people. And I think that was the difference between moving away and moving to university. I started to meet these people and make friends with them. And I just had such a love and a care for them that I thought, well, I've got to tell them about Jesus, because they don't know Jesus yet. And so it was just an overflow of that, but it always starts in the place of being with Jesus myself and letting him love me and letting me love him to then love others.
Wow. So just tell us, guys, how did that get built within you? Because that's not something that just happens by accident. How are you in that place by the time you came to uni? What would your advice be for a 16, 17 year old who's preparing for uni? What should they do now?
I think it, like Yaz said, it is all about discipline. And there's mornings where you wake up and like you just, yeah, it doesn't feel natural or normal to sit down and read your Bible, but you still do it. And I think praying for where you're going and praying for the places that you're going to be living and the university, and preparing your heart to go there, was big for me, like doing that and just getting into that routine and that rhythm before I went, knowing that it was something I did every day regardless of what was going on. Yeah, that was really important for
right,
me.
Right, so yeah. like Yasmin mentioned, a holy habit, kind of a thing that you get into the rhythm of.
Yeah, and we have to ask Holy Spirit to help us as well, because it is hard. And I remember there was one morning at university a couple of weeks ago, and I had stayed out way too late the night before, and I knew I needed to get to a lecture.
Surely you didn't do that.
I wanted to get the max sleep. And so I didn't set my alarm with enough time to read my Bible before the day. And I thought, I'll just do it later in the day. And I woke up 20 minutes before my alarm. And I saw the time. That never happens, by the way, that I'd wake up before my alarm. And immediately I thought, oh, I actually think God has woken me up to read the Bible and spend time with him. So it's kind of asking Holy Spirit to help you. And I think there'd been days prior to that when I'd prayed like, oh God, help me do this well. And so I have to trust that, yeah, he was there in that moment and woke me up and said, get on and read your Bible.
Wow. I'd love to talk in a minute about what it's like to be at uni as a student and just generally. But last thing, I suppose, is on before you came to uni, was there any mentoring or kind of friendships with other people of your age or older than you maybe that was really helpful in terms of forming your faith?
Yes, definitely. I found that at church, knowing different people who had walked through university, who had done it 10 years ago, 20 years ago, but also 1 year ago, 2 years ago, and also just being friends with students at church. You know, when you're 17, 18, you are in a place to be friends with people who are 19, 20, 21, and being friends with them and chatting to them and then praying and asking questions to people who I knew and trusted were wise and had the same view as me and had the same sort of attitude as me towards it all. It was massive, and it encouraged me so much in my faith, and knowing that you know, I wasn't going to uni the only Christian. Like, I was going to uni as a Christian, as hundreds and hundreds of thousands of other Christians have already done before me, and they were completely fine and loved it and found God even more than they ever had, and struggled too, but found God in the struggling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say as well, as soon as you get to uni, if you can, and this is the same, like, not just at university, but in your work or just people around you, do have Christian friends that can spur you on and can just, you can be vulnerable with. And that's not to say don't not have friends that aren't Christian. So we're both living with full non-Christian households next year at the moment. They might be Christians by the time we get there. Yeah, it's not about kind of isolating yourself. So I was really keen when I went to uni to not be like that. But also, I think I would not have been able to do the last few months and stayed kind of close to Jesus and on the right track if I hadn't had Christian friends around me, supporting me just like JC and encouraging me and just holding each other accountable. And people are so up for that in any walk of life. I have noticed that, like, people do want deep, vulnerable friendships. Wow. But it's so important to do that with Christians and non-Christians.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes you don't appreciate what we have within a Christian culture, you know, as you grow up within it. But, you know, for example, the way, I mean, I love the fact that you hug people in church.
Yes.
You know, it's, I know it's not always appropriate and I don't hug everybody in church, but it's that sense of just being able to express yourselves with people and show love to people, just a simple thing like that. And actually the way that guys are kind of expected, trained a little bit through being in a Christian environment to share a little bit more of their feelings than they would otherwise. You know, I really appreciated that when I was in my 20s as well. It's a bit like, it's not therapy quite, is it? But it's a, you know, you learn to talk about how you're the deepest things of life, which is what the Christian walk is all about.
And actually, I've noticed it's really attractive to non-Christians,
right,
when I've been vulnerable about whether I'm having a great day or not having a great day. As like many people would know listening, Dad was sick before Christmas.
I was.
And so I was at university at the time when I got the call about that and did come home the next day. But I think my friends around me, and especially the non-Christians, they're still shocked at the way I handled it and said, look, this is going on. I'm telling you guys, like, they were my closest friends, but I feel peace about this. And this is why, kind of thing, because I know Jesus, but also the fact that I was like, but I am also quite scared. And so, yeah, just being vulnerable with them, since I was vulnerable at the start and said, look, this is going on, but this is still who I believe. Then they've come to me when they've had family bereavements or just tricky stuff, or they've just been sick themselves. And I think I have been able to be a safe place for them. But maybe that came because I was first vulnerable.
Yeah, I'm sure. So vulnerability, authenticity, massive in today's culture. Let's talk a bit about culture for a minute, can we? And you know young adult culture better than I do. What's some of your surprises and what are some of your observations about being a Christian and living in the real world today?
It's different. Like, you are walking differently. If you are on fire for Jesus and if you are desperate to be more like him, you are walking differently to other people. But it's an absolute joy to do that. Yeah, it's really hard. I would say just even things like people listening and asking questions. Even that is a culture thing. Like, I think as Christians, we're very aware of other people's emotions, and so are so many people. But like, that was a big thing for me at uni in terms of a culture shift, was how interested people were in other people's lives and the lack in questions that people asked and the lack in desire to, like, really get to know someone and go deeper with someone.
Lack of desire.
Yeah, like, there was a lack of desire for non-Christians to really get to know someone on a really deep level.
Okay.
And I found that actually that was such a big culture thing for me at uni, was seeing that the way that I lived and the culture that I wanted to set was one that was deeper and intentional, and friendships were real and, like, had truth to them and were honest and vulnerable, which often a lot of people at uni, it's can be quite surface level with friendships. But I've just seen so many friends who don't have a faith but are just desperate for authentic friendship and real friendship and true friendship and deep friendship, and be really open to the way that I live my life because of the culture that I've set in my friendships of, you know, wanting to really know a person and not just be surface level all the time.
And how do you think that links into faith, like your faith?
I think knowing the love that God's got for me and that my identity is rooted in him, the way that I then love others and reach out to others is so real and genuine, because that's exactly what God's done for me. He's reached out to me, he's extended a hand to me, he's pulled me out of the depths when things have felt hard, and he's always accepted me in my vulnerability. And that's exactly what I want to do for others in my friendships.
And the Bible says, by your love shall you be known.
Yeah.
You know, that's how people will see that you're authentic followers of Jesus. Very good. So Yasmin, kind of what's the challenges of living in contemporary society today, perhaps?
Oh, there's just so many. But it's also so fun. Like, I'm not at university going, oh, this is a horrible place to live. Yeah. Like, I love it. I love the social side of uni. I love the fact that we do just chat and go out and go to the pub.
It's so much fun.
It's so much fun. Right. So I don't feel like I'm kind of battling against it. It's just walking in the fruits of the Spirit, I guess, all of those things and in step with the Spirit that stops me from straying away from God's plan for my life.
So tell me, so council culture is a big thing these days.
Yeah.
Do you fear speaking truth to people or kind of being authentically who you are in as Christians? Is that a concern to you? Do you worry that that is taboo with other people or it might put them off, or is that not a thing?
I think I fear God more than I fear that. But from, I mean, my couple of months of just trying it out at uni, building friendship first before just saying kind of what I believe and why has made more of a difference, because they've seen it in my life and my character. And I think it's landed with my friends more the more they've got to know me and see kind of what I do and how I live my life. So yeah, just I guess the power of like running the long race with friends and with people that you love, that you want to become Christians. And it's not usually just take them to a talk and they'll get radically changed. Unfortunately, it's a bit more hard work than that, yeah, I found out. And you just need to walk with them where they are and constantly be checking in on them and have chats one-on-one as well as in groups and just be an encouraging friend. And then as you get to know each other more, we've both had opportunities to invite friends to church or to invite them to Christian events going on or to offer to read the Bible with them. But that didn't come from just, hi, nice to meet you, do you want to read the Bible? It was more getting to know them and where they're at, and then their hearts softened to it.
I think also that whole thing about cancel culture, being cancelled or, you know, anything to do with that, or receiving backlash for what you believe, when you are plugged into a church community and when you found a family in that, which is exactly what church is supposed to be, you realise that you're not silly for thinking the things that you think.
Right.
But also, we're not meant to fit the ways of the world. We're meant to walk by the Spirit, and we're meant to, we're meant to kill our flesh. Like, we're not meant to walk with our flesh. And that's a big thing when I think about people not liking what I'm saying or not agreeing with what I'm saying. Well, actually, like, that's exactly how I'm supposed to be living. I'm meant to be living with a spiritual mind and differently to everyone else. So therefore, it's a joy to have a different view or to be talking about a topic in a different way or to be not talking about something because I just don't feel it's appropriate.
I wish everybody else thought that in contemporary society as well.
She's amazing.
But it's a joy rather than a fight.
Well, we only have to choose to do that here. When we're with Jesus, we're never going to have to choose to do that. So like, what a joy it is to do it here. Like, I'm never going to have to make that decision again because I'm going to be with him. So it's a joy to live differently, and people see it and they see your joy.
And can you tell me some ways that you've kind of tried to connect with people and show them some of the inner joy that you guys carry and share faith, maybe in a vocal way, but or in other ways as well? How's that working out?
I think thankfulness has been a big thing for me. My friends see that every day, no matter what day my day has been like, I always do come back saying I've had a good day and that it's been good and why I've had a good day. That's been massive. And just, I think from that, I've had friends come along to church, friends that just were so against it and just didn't want it at all. I think they've seen that there is something that brings hope, even on days that have been hard. And like seeing me walk through situations in my own life and then also walking through similar things, and then me asking them, why don't you come along to church? And they've been like, okay, yeah.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Has that been a surprise?
Yeah, I was shocked that people actually wanted to come, but yep, they do. Everyone, a lot of people want
really?
To come.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, especially when they come back again. That's been like amazing, because it's not just a woo, going to church once, woo. They're like, oh, I actually see there's truth here, and there's like hope here, and these people are passionate about what they're worshipping and who they're worshipping. And yeah, I've had friends come and just sit at the back and just cry and cry and cry and like be moved by the worship and be moved by the passion in the room. I had another friend who doesn't sing at all when she comes, because she's so in awe of what's going on in the room that she just is watching the whole time. She's looking around, people on their knees, people with their hands in the air, passionately worshiping God, and she just can't even bring herself to sing because she's just like, wow, what is going on?
But in those moments, you can trust, can't you, that God will be meeting with her. And, you know, I think a lot of introducing people to faith is show and tell. So you don't always have to explain everything. You know, when people come to the well regularly and we'll sit at the back and we show them where the tissues are, because they'll cry as well. And it's because of the presence of God, which is very moving. And I just say, well, listen, if you're here with a hungry heart, Jesus said, knock on the door and it will be open to you. Seek and you will find. I have real confidence that people who are hungry will meet God.
Mm.
And I don't, you know, unapologetically, I'll say to them, if you're in this in the environment, you will meet God if you're looking for him.
Yeah, I think I learned that from you. I rang Dad the other day and said, Dad, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm having all these conversations. And he said, or you said, just tell them that if you come to church with an open heart and an open mind, you will see God and you will come to know him. And so I've just been trying to say that with, and you have to say it with full faith so that they believe you as well. If I say it timidly, like, yeah, I think you might like it, then they're also like, oh, will I like it? But if I go, look, this will change your life, why don't you come with me? Then they go, okay, I'll come.
And it is called good news for a reason.
Yeah, that's true.
And also making sure they know that no question is silly. Like, otherwise they just sort of are like, am I the only one with this question? Like, am I silly for thinking this? Like, no, if you have a question, ask it. You must ask it. Yeah, for it to be an open space where they can be vulnerable with their question asking. Yeah.
Wow. Now, I managed to throw out a stat of 75% earlier, but you've got another similar stat, haven't you, Yasmin? What's that?
Yes. Well, it's the opposite, really. 74% of non-Christian students at the moment in a recent survey said they would be open to going to church if a friend invited them.
74%?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think we really have seen that and experienced that. And it surprised me, to be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't think my friends would want to come, but if I ask them, they do. And I've actually had friends that go, well, why didn't you ask me? Why did you invite them? And then I'm like, oh, sorry. Oh, yeah, do you want to come next week? Like, there is such an openness amongst people today that I just did not realise until I started with just the first person in front of me. And then it's a ripple effect. So honestly, yeah, just be encouraged to go for it and just invite people, because you've got nothing to lose. And it's so exciting what we're seeing amongst our friends. I mean, we're getting the train back after this podcast.
Yes.
And yeah, who knows what this week's going to bring, but it's exciting.
Lots of big nights out.
Yeah, so just tell us as we come to a close, what does the next week look like? Because you also live in the real world. So you're jumping on the train straight after this. Going to church tonight?
Yeah.
You know it, Dad.
I do. We're recording this.
Trinity Church, Nottingham.
Trinity, Nottingham. Highly recommended. You've had a real blessed time there so far.
Yeah, amazing.
Brilliant.
Amazing. Yeah.
We're recording this on a Sunday. It's not like you go there every day of the week.
No.
Right?
No. Josie would if she could. Jakes.
No, I actually seriously would.
that's a great thing to say. What's the rest of the week look like for you guys?
I'm on placement, so I'm going to be going into the hospital.
So you're studying?
Nursing, adult nursing. So yeah, that's what my week looks like. And meeting some friends. Well, always meeting friends, to be honest. But yeah, nice stuff. Really nice
Good.
Stuff. Yeah.
Good, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I am dissecting the neck on Tuesday.
Wow. You are studying
medicine.
Okay.
I'm going clubbing on Wednesday. And to be fair, I have got student small group on Thursday. So there you go. Life is a balance.
Yes, it is. And a lot of sport in there.
Loads of, yeah.
A lot of coffees.
Playing tennis with friends. So it's a
Amazing.
Good time.
It's a fantastic stage of life.
It's so much fun.
You are living your best life.
Living our best life.
Whatever that means.
Well, I think you've given us a little flavour for that actually today, what that could mean. So thank you, Josie and Yasmin. Thank you so much for joining
thank
us,
you.
Sharing a little bit of what it's like to be Christians at your young, early stage of life, but forming not just something for now, but something for the future as well, and calling other people into that. Really, really encouraged. I hope that actually it's not just encouraging to people, but it gives people courage to step out on who we are in God, what we know of us, of who God says we are and who he says he is, and therefore willing to take risks and be bold and to share faith in normal ways, in normal life, and actually really love people. I love that. That's the thing I'll take away from what you just said as well. Really authentically loving people speaks volumes in itself. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Dad.
And we'll catch you soon.
Thanks.
Bye.